VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk today on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, while many are wanting to put COVID-19 and the response to COVID on the ash heaps of history, there are colleges and universities, even some businesses that have reinstated mask mandates or others that are forcing shot mandates. And speaking of shots, the president's requesting more funding for a new COVID shot with recommendations that everyone get it, including those who've had it before. A Canadian woman just died because she was refused an organ transplant because she did not have the COVID shot. Many are observing what is going on and saying they will refuse to comply with reissued mandates and shutdowns that force many businesses to forever close their doors, churches that were not allowed to worship, students who have even still to this day not caught up academically, and the isolation of many in nursing homes and healthcare settings. Many wonder what's going on and are asking the question, are we headed toward COVID 2.0? Well, joining us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Twyla Braze, the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. They're a national, patient-centered, privacy-focused, free market policy organization to support health care choices, individualized patient care, and medical and genetic privacy. Twyla is a certified public health nurse, author of the 8-time award-winning book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. She's a speaker on the Daily Health Freedom Minute, heard on stations across the nation. Twyla, thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Well, it's always great to be here. Thank you, Jim.
Twyla, I'd like to begin with, the story. It's making news around the country. Newspapers talking about the rising COVID rates, rising hospitalizations due to COVID. It's like we're all being prepared for something. And to bear this out, I'm going to begin with a clip from President Biden's press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, as President Biden has now requested congressional funding for a new COVID shot that she says likely will be recommended that everyone get it. I'd like to play the clip, and then we'll talk about where we are as a nation and where we're headed. Here's that clip.
And secondly, the president said in Tahoe that he had tentatively decided everyone get the new vaccine. When is he going to decide finally?
So I think you've heard from the FDA and CDC. They've made an announcement on the new vaccine. They said that they will have there'll be an updated vaccine mid-September, I believe. So we know that, as you all know, vaccinations against COVID-19 remains the safest protection for avoiding hospitalization, long-term health outcomes, and death, which is why we are going to be encouraging Americans to stay up to date on their vaccines.
Twyla Braze, your comments.
Safest protection. Really? You know, that's like their mantra, that this is the safest protection against the disease, against hospitalization, but it's not the safest protection. Well, and furthermore, I think it's good to remember this is not the same COVID. And above and beyond that, the fact of the matter is they're guessing at what, when they're making this so-called vaccine, they're guessing at what it's going to be. It's not going to be whatever it is by the time that it gets out, because it takes longer to make the vaccine, or the shot, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of guessing. There's a lot of statements here. There's a lot of claims that don't have any real backup to them. And notice that there's absolutely nothing about early treatment. There is absolutely nothing about early treatment in those statements about what is actually protection for the American people.
You know, I remember, as I'm sure you do, President Biden saying, you know, if you get the COVID vaccine, you can't get COVID. Just yesterday, news broke of his wife, Jill Biden, been reported to receive 2 doses of the COVID shot. Also, she's been double boosted. Still, this is her second time with COVID, Twyla.
You know, sometimes it makes you wonder whether they actually know that they didn't get the real thing, or the fact of the matter is, what we know now is what the Cleveland Clinic has said, which is that the more shots that you get, the more likely it is that you will get COVID, the higher the risk that you will get COVID. And, you know, my guess for that is just because of what it probably does to your innate immune system by making it more difficult for your body to fight COVID because of how the shot is impacting your immune system. So, you know, this is, they looked at more than 50,000 workers in the Cleveland Clinic, and that's what they came up with. The more boosters, the more shots, the higher the risk of getting COVID.
You know, it's been interesting as well that the CDC has mysteriously stopped accepting COVID vaccine adverse events reports. Just as this new so-called vaccine is to be pushed, I'm looking. I've got a copy in my hand here. I printed it out from the CDC, from VSafe, and it says, thank you for your participation. Data collection for COVID-19 vaccines concluded on June 30th, 2023. If you have symptoms or health problems following your COVID-19 vaccination that concern you, please contact your healthcare provider. You can also report it to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS. More COVID about information about COVID-19 is available here, which you click on here to take you to the CDC website. Rather amazing that the CDC does not want to hear anymore from people who have been adversely affected by the vaccine, the COVID-19 shot.
Yes, it's so, it's just almost malfeasance on their part, because the fact of the matter is messenger RNA, or as we now know, it's modified RNA, not even messenger RNA. These shots are all experimental, and yet they have always said that the VAERS reporting system is, you know, can't be trusted. Anybody can report, you know, and so you have to take that data with a grain of salt. And yet here they are, taking down what they consider to be their most trusted data source, taking it away, putting it away. We're no longer going to follow these people, no longer going to figure out what the long-term effects are, no longer going to add any new information on any of the new injections. I do think it is malfeasance on their part. This is untested. It is experimental, and they do not want to hear the results.
Is there anything to all this hype that we're seeing, the articles in the newspaper, the rising numbers in the hospital? Is this a legitimate concern, or do you believe, Twyla, this is a scare tactic?
I do believe that people are getting COVID. I have certainly had even people in my own circles who have gotten COVID. So, some of them are just like a cold. Some of them it's a little bit more significant. COVID is still here, and I am thinking now about the email that was finally redacted. The unredacted email. Am I got that correct? The one that has all the words. And so we have the email from Fauci to Francis Collins at NIH, along with other people. The one that says, "I was talking to a credible group of scientists last night. And they're concerned because the sequence, in other words, the genetic sequence of COVID-2 does not look like it could have naturally evolved. And they were concerned because they knew it was coming out of Wuhan, and they knew that Wuhan was doing gain-of-function research. So we now can see all of these words. We now know that from the very beginning, they knew that there was something very suspicious about SARS-CoV-2, right? And so now what we have is everything that we've all experienced in the last 3 years and the fact that it's still around in some iteration of COVID. It is still around. People are still getting COVID. But the real thing here is to be prepared to treat yourself, to treat yourself. And that's what they never talk about. Because that's how they can keep the fear going. You know, there's no treatment, right? There's no treatment except the shot. And the shot, of course, is not a treatment, and it has a lot of dangers.
So when you talk about this pre-treatment, what are you talking about, Twyla?
So early treatment, you know, I think the very best source of early treatment is to go to the frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, which is flccc.net. And they have the protocols for early treatment. And so there are things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, quercetin, You know, depending on how far you are along, there could be prednisone. They have a variety of protocols. They have, you know, a protocol to prevent yourself from ever getting COVID. And then they've got the protocols after you've gotten it or if you're further along in it. And so there is actual treatment, and there's actual prophylaxis to try and prevent yourself from getting it. Like if you're in a big crowd, you know, maybe you want to take, you know, one of these antivirals. I would suggest looking at the protocols. You could get our COVID-19 quick reference guide, which we've had more than 140,000 downloads, and look at the early treatment kit, because COVID is still happening. Some people are still landing in the hospital with COVID. There are people dying with COVID that are still being reported as from COVID, right? So I think the statistics are still off. But, you know, we had a bunch of COVID here, and I'm located in Minnesota. I had a bunch of people I knew who actually had COVID in the last few months and actually in the last month. So I know it's still around.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the download from your website. Give us a website, since we're on the topic right now, as well as where do we look to get that download?
Yeah, so cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org. And I believe last week we put it back up on the homepage of our website. If it's not there, it's at thepatienttoolbox.org, which is just our website for people who are being coerced in the exam room and for our COVID-19. But just start at cchfreedom.org, and it's the COVID-19 Quick Reference Guide.
COVID-19 Quick Reference Guide, and again, friends, at cchfreedom.org or at patienttoolbox.org. You'll find that there as well. Do you fear, Twyla, that our the leaders, whether it be through the CDC or the NIH or Department of Health and Human Services, that they're heading us down that pathway toward the shutdowns once again?
Certainly, they are fanning the flames. They are encouraging masking. If you go to the CDC, they will talk about masking and how different people in different situations should be masking. You can watch the mask usage increase on the streets, which will only come from people watching news, et cetera, that will tell them to do this sort of thing. And so this is happening out of the FDA. It's happening out of the CDC. It's happening out of the media. And there's this movement that completely ignores the fact that the masks do not work. Do not work. I mean, Fauci, way back in February 2020, before most of us even knew the word COVID, he was asked by the former Secretary of Health and Human Services in an email, and we have that email, he was asked whether she wanted to know, she was getting on a plane, and she wanted to know if she should put on a mask. And he said, no. He goes, the virus will just go right through it. That, you know, there's absolutely no reason to do that. Just, you know, fly, right? Mm-hmm. That's still the truth. It's still the truth, no matter what he has said in the, you know, ever since, or, you know, when he said two masks were better, you know, whatever, all of that was said, right? But it's still the truth that the masks don't work. This is a small, tiny virus. It doesn't stop.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and visit Dr. Anthony Fauci and also what he is saying now about mask mandates. He was just interviewed on CNN on the effectiveness of masks, so we'll get to that as well. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what were the flying dinosaurs?
Chris, the flying reptiles like the pterodactyls were not really dinosaurs. By definition, dinosaurs walked on land with bones different from the flying reptiles. But they're often in the same discussion, usually as being huge reptiles from the great age of reptiles. Of course, I disagree with the term age of reptiles. I think all animals were created during creation week, flying animals on day 5 and land animals on day 6. But, you know, there's a lot of evidence that these flying reptiles lived at the same time as humans. Sober historians of yesteryear described such beasts and even drew pictures of them. And the American Indians even drew pictures of the Thunderbird, and their drawings are similar to the Pteranodon. Make no mistake, Chris, the evidence fits the back-to-Genesis truth of recent creation of all things.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
Is COVID 2.0 on the horizon? Twyla Braze is with us today, the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Their website, cchfreedom.org. If you want to look for that COVID-19 article that she referred to, you can go to patienttoolbox.org. That's another site there as well, and click on the COVID box and coronavirus box, and you'll find more information available there. Again, that's patienttoolbox.org and their main website, cchfreedom.org. Twyla, the other thing that we've been seeing is the return of mask mandates on many different fronts. I've seen, at the same time, different reports coming about regarding masks containing dangerous amounts of toxins or other allegations. Can you comment on the return of mask mandates, and are they impacting individuals in a negative way, or are they putting themselves at risk by wearing them?
Well, I think there are so many things about the mask, right? The mask was never meant to do what they have said that it does, and it doesn't do that, and it wasn't ever meant to do that. And so there are a variety of things about the mask, including the social isolation of it, including the way it impacts people's relationships. But there have also been studies about what's going on with the mask itself. And like you said, toxic materials. And so they have found, you know, toxic materials. And, of course, you're breathing into that thing. Your breath is making it wet. Most people are putting it all sorts of places that picks up dirt, and then you're breathing that in too. And then in addition to that, I think on the Health Freedom Minute, I reported maybe about 6 months ago on the fact that they looked at the bacteria and the fungus on both sides of the mask. And some of it was, as they said, not pathogenic, but there were four bacteria that were pathogenic that were growing, plus there was the fungus. And they warned that anybody who had any susceptibility or any immune compromised problems should not be wearing the mask because of their exposure to these pathogens.
This clip came from CNN. Dr. Fauci was being interviewed there on masks, saying that they work. And when he was questioned with studies, saying, well, they work on an individual level, not so much on a corporate level as such, which seems to be a double tongue there. But let's listen in and then we'll have you comment. Here's the interview with Dr. Fauci on CNN.
I would hope that if, in fact, we get to the point where the volume of cases is such and organizations like the CDC recommend, CDC doesn't mandate anything, I mean, recommends that people wear masks, I would hope that they abide by the recommendation and take into account the risk to themselves and to their families. And again, we're not talking about forcing anybody to do anything.
Totally understood. There is a perception out there by many, how many, I don't know, that they don't work, and that the data concludes that they didn't work in the first go-round. Respond to that on masks.
Yeah, well, that's not so. I mean, when you're talking about at the population level, that the data are less strong than knowing that if you look on a situation as an individual protecting themselves or protecting them from spreading it, there's no doubt that masks work. Different studies give different percentages of advantage of wearing it. But there's no doubt that the weight of the studies, and there have been many studies, indicate the benefit of wearing masks.
I'm going to refer to one of them. You've heard about it before. I heard about it from a number of radio callers. Brett Stevens in The Times talked about Cochrane. Put that on the screen. The most rigorous and comprehensive analysis of scientific studies conducted on the efficacy of masks for reducing the spread of respiratory illness, including COVID-19, was published last month. Its conclusions, said Tom Jefferson, the Oxford epidemiologist who is the lead author, were unambiguous. There is just no evidence that masks, make any difference, he told the journalist Mayan Damasi, full stop. But wait, hold on. What about the N95 masks as opposed to the lower quality surgical or cloth masks? Makes no difference. None of it, he said. Well, what about the studies that initially persuaded policymakers to impose mask mandates? They were convinced by non-randomized studies, flawed observational studies. How do we get beyond that finding of that particular review?
Yeah, but there are other studies, Michael, that show at an individual level for individual. When you're talking about the effect on the epidemic or the pandemic as a whole, the data are less strong. But when you talk about as an individual basis of someone protecting themselves or protecting themselves from spreading it to others, there's no doubt that there are many studies that show that there is an advantage. When you took at the broad population level, like the Cochrane study, the data are less firm with regard to the effect on the overall pandemic. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about an individual's effect on their own safety. That's a bit different than the broad population level.
Well, Twyla, if indeed this protected more on an individual basis, wouldn't that show collectively that would have had to impact the, you know, the pandemic in a positive way too? I mean, how do you separate those two?
You know, just listening to him, it's all nonsense. You know, the fact of the matter is, as you are saying, right, individual by individual by individual by individual shows collectively, and he's saying collectively it's really not as effective, right?
Right.
But somehow, individual by individual by individual, it is effective. The fact of the matter is, just by the words of Fauci, it's almost like he claims that by his own word, he can make something true or something false. Because the fact of the matter is there's lots of studies, including one in Denmark, that showed that the masks don't work, including the Cochrane one, which has always been called like the gold standard, which says it doesn't work. And so for him to just say, but there are other studies, well, show us those other studies. Because those other studies aren't out there. The word of Fauci does not matter a whit against, you know, what's really happening on the ground with a mask and a person through the entire thing. Studies have shown they don't work. And he himself, in February 2020, knew masks didn't work and said so.
Twyla, the other thing I caught early on in his part of the interview mentioned that the CDC doesn't mandate, they recommend. And I, you know, how many times have we heard, no, we have to do this because the CDC has said this, the CDC has said that, therefore we must do this. That doesn't sound like recommendations. That sounds pretty much like mandates or somebody turning them into mandates.
Yes, it means somebody turns them into mandates, because the fact of the matter is the CDC, the FDA, they cannot mandate. Now, Biden mandated the mask using his authority under the Federal Aviation Administration and did it for all transportation, right? And there was even a question about his ability to do that. There have been lawsuits, one of them which he lost, right? And so, no, they cannot mandate it, but all it takes is a willing governor, a willing public health official to tell a governor that we need to do this, or, you know, making it more difficult for employers or federal contractors or all of these entities. So they stand here as an arbitrator of truth, and then everybody just responds to them, even though they're telling lies, and even though they're essentially doing quasi-mandates, encouraging mandates, and they know the power of their own word, and they're using it. And this reminds me of the case against the FDA on ivermectin, which happened on August 8th, and the argument of the FDA. So the judges said, this is on ivermectin, the FDA was claiming that, no, this tweet about you're not a horse, you're not a cow, you know, stop it, right?
Right.
The FDA said, well, this is just a quippy tweet. You know, this is just a quip. It doesn't have any power at all. And the judges said, well, how about stop it? That seems like kind of a command, right?
Right.
And she said, well, no, yeah, in some situations, but not in this context. And then the judges said to her, well, when the FDA learned that judges across the country were using the FDA statements to say, to tell families that they could not force the hospital to use ivermectin on their dying loved ones, didn't the FDA have a responsibility to come up and say, no, we don't mean that. Of course, this is a safe drug. And the FDA attorney said, no, with no responsibility. Hospitals are intelligent corporations. They knew they're not under our control. So This is the thinking of the government, right? They put out all of these things. They know that they will be used to control and mandate and everything else. And then they just say, no, we have sovereign immunity, and you cannot charge us with anything.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Twyla Braes is our guest here today, and talking about really asking the question, is COVID 2.0 on the horizon? As we're seeing a resurgence of news coverage coming back, a talk from the White House down through the various agencies, we're told a new shot is coming out here sometime this month of September, and that everyone should plan on taking the shot, and that the White House is going to suggest that everybody take the shot, whether they've had the previous shots, the double shot plus double booster, and certainly this wave is going to hit us. Twyla, we understand that there are a number of people rising up, even the presidential candidate, just saying, we're not going to comply, we're not going to shut down, we're not going to respond like we did the first time around.
Yes, and you know, for me, the most brilliant response came from a governor. Now, why is it escaping me which governor this is? Reeves, I think, is his name. And he basically said, you know, when there was this sort of national consensus, when COVID hit, when we were all kind of hit with it, that we had no reason to think that the government would, you know, use this against us and, you know, try to take control of everything. And now we have no reason to think that they won't use it to do it. And he said, we will go to school, we will go to church, we will run our businesses, we will do this, and we will not follow any COVID rules. I think it's Governor Reeves, and for the life of me, I can't remember which state that's from.
Is that Mississippi?
But, you know, it was just brilliant.
Yeah, that sounds like Mississippi, perhaps.
Yes, Mississippi, exactly right.
And friends, and even the various candidates running for president right now, too, no lockdown again, as they're pushing back against the COVID-19 lockdowns and mandates. It's not going to keep them from coming, Twyla, because many are wondering, and former President Trump even tweeting this out, you know, we got another presidential election coming. Is it any surprise we have this new COVID, 2.0, in essence, he's saying, and that, this opens up the door for all kinds of fraud where we expand, you know, the drop boxes and so forth for taking in ballots. I mean, the stage is being set for another impact upon this nation that perhaps is not in the nation's best interest.
So I just came up with something after you said that. COVID 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
COVID 2.0. And that's what the American people have to say, is we're not going to comply. We're not going to abide. We're going to live our lives free and in constitutional freedom. We're not going to come under the authority of government to completely, you know, lock down our lives. It was wrong in the first place, and we're not going to let it happen again. That's just a simple fact. We won't comply.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with just a little bit more information. Then we'll go to the phone lines as well. So be ready. We'll be giving out the number here shortly and formulate your questions, and we will hear from you shortly. Twyla Braes with us here today on Crosstalk, and certainly much ado pertaining to the matter of COVID and its resurgence. But did you know that they're also talking about a mRNA cancer vaccine as well? And the list goes on. Stay tuned, friends. We'll be back in a minute, as well as information about an event coming up at the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Crosstalk, as we know it, began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Hank Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and Twyla Braze is our guest today, and asking the question, is COVID 2.0 on the horizon? And like what Twyla said, she found written somewhere that it's COVID 2.0. And friends talking about these issues today, and there are many who have had great concern regarding the use of mRNA, but we understand, Twyla, this is not just the end of it, but really the beginning, because there has been the announcement really where the Biden administration is promising some multiple millions of dollars to fund a new mRNA cancer vaccine. And I'm sure we're going to see other mRNA-related so-called vaccines as well.
Yes, I think the public has to really be aware now, and anything that they try to give you as a medication or a shot or whatever, to ask whether there is any mRNA or modified RNA in them. And so, yes, this is something $24 million to fund a cancer vaccine. You know, they're awfully liberal these days with the term vaccine. Mm-hmm. A vaccine used to mean complete immunity. And, of course, with COVID, it doesn't. And they still continue to call it a vaccine. But, yes, so, again, this is all untested technology. It is technology. It's genetic technology. And nobody should be, you know, just looking at this like a wonder drug without thinking about, look what has happened with messenger RNA in COVID-19. Look at all of the people who are injured. Look at the people who have died. You know, look at all of this and think twice about a cancer vaccine made of messenger RNA. And while we're talking about cancer, the interesting thing about ivermectin is that NIH has been doing studies on using ivermectin for cancer, and there looks like there's some progress there, but you never heard all of that, did you?
No.
During the whole COVID time, it was like it was a really bad deal, but they're actually looking at it to help with curing or treating cancer.
Twyla, you have a special event coming up this week for Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Tell us about it.
Yes, it's our annual fundraising event. It is one of our biggest fundraising events for everything that we do, and so we have Pete Hegseth coming as our keynote speaker. The event is this coming Thursday, September 7th, and there are still the possibilities of registration, so anyone can go online at cchfreedom.org. And of course, this would support, you know, what we do. Again, it's our biggest fundraiser. We would love to have people who support what we do for patient and doctor freedom, you know, come to our event or support us in that way.
And that's in the Twin Cities area?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yes, that is essentially in St. Paul, which is right next to Minneapolis.
Okay. So, again, cchfreedom.org for information on it, cchfreedom.org. Friends, I'd like to open our lines here today to Crosstalk, taking your questions or brief comments, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. And would like to hear what's going on in your workplace. Are they seeking or talking about reinstituting mask mandates or that of shot mandates? We're seeing that happen as well. Twyla, just before we get to calls, though, I know that there's another concern that you have, and you've, matter of fact, have it as an action step through your organization right now, and it's in regard to a new HIPAA rule. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so they're calling this the HIPAA privacy rule for reproductive health care. And really what's happening here is the Biden administration is acknowledging that HIPAA protects nobody's privacy because they are trying to create a protected class of data under HIPAA. And what they're saying is that none of the data having to do with an abortion, any of the demographic data, the names, the, you know, hospitalization, whatever, any data in your medical record having to do with an abortion, any data on the abortionist, any data on the counselor who took the young girl across state lines to a pro-abortion state from an anti-abortion state, all of that would be untouchable, inaccessible by law enforcement, inaccessible for any kind of investigation. And so this is essentially Biden saying that we are going to allow criminal acts in our attempt to make sure that everyone who gets an abortion or gives an abortion or brings someone to an abortion is protected. And so we have an action alert on our website, cchfreedom.org. And this, the proposed rule has gone out. And people have made comments on it, and now the Biden administration is writing their rule. So now is the time for Congress to hold a hearing, and essentially what they should do is defund any HHS agency that is any part of this. So they should pull their money, they should hold a hearing and pull their money. So you can go to cchfreedom.org and look at the words that say something like stop HIPAA, or stop Biden's reproductive health care rule, and it's really quick. We've given you the words, we've given you everything. Just go in there and click, and put in your zip code, and that'll show which members you are, and you can just send that message to them. We would love to have you engage to stop what Biden's trying to do.
Again, friends, at cchfreedom.org, and when you go there as well, right in that rolling scroll at the top, you're going to find that COVID-19 quick reference guide as well that Twyla referred to earlier. Our lines are packed. Let's go right to them. We have calling from Casa Grande, Arizona. Carol, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I have a question. I have not had a tetanus shot vaccine in many years. Is the diphtheria tetanus shot safe? Does it have mRNA in it?
So I don't feel qualified to answer that, except to say I have heard absolutely no information whatsoever that would make me think that they have changed the tetanus shot to include messenger RNA.
Yeah.
So my guess is it's the same as it has been.
And you may also want to consult with the National Vaccine Information Center. We have interviewed them at various times, nvic.org. Thank you for the call. Mary is next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if these COVID shots have ground-up babies in it. And if they do, I'm not going to take it. When I was lost, I did.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have her respond to that. But what about this aspect? Aborted fetal cells, Twyla?
Yes, and so, I haven't looked at it for a while, but I do recall that that was a concern, and they were trying to do, say, well, no, it's not actually in there. But then, of course, people found that in the testing to make it happen that they had used it. So what's actually in there now, nobody knows, because they will not provide anyone with the ingredients of the shot.
Matter of fact, I understand they have a big sheet in with the shot, but it's all blank.
That's exactly correct.
Hmm. Thank you, Mary. Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the air.
It's stunning that they won't provide the ingredients, but I did want to discuss a case you brought up last week, I think, Jim, Dr. Braze. The individual in Canada who needed a kidney transplant and was refused the transplant, but when he died, the same hospital asked the wife for his organs. They are not words that you can use on the radio to describe those people in that hospital. Share with us your disgust with them.
Yeah, thank you, Leroy.
Well, when I read that story and when I said, but we'd like to have your organs, when you pass, and it's like it's so. What is that word when you're so two-faced? Right? It's completely terrible, the thought that you're not good enough to get an organ because you've disagreed with something, but you are good enough to give us your organs after you've died. It is absolutely disgusting, and that is a very good word for it, and it's unethical, it's uncompassionate, and it's really, it's tyrannical.
Yeah.
It's really terrible. It's beyond words, sort of.
Thank you for using cleaner words than I would.
Leroy, thank you for calling today. Charlie in Lodi, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your show. What a wealth of information. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Just something I noticed quickly. In Dodgeville, there's a Walmart up there, and they now have 30 stalls to park your car to pick up groceries. And I told my wife, something's coming. They're anticipating another lockdown where people will be calling in for their groceries will not be able to go into the store.
Hmm.
That's amazing to me. Just keep your eyes open. There's signs everywhere. Thank you again. God bless.
Thank you for your call. And Twyla, there, and that's not a lone issue. There are many issues that would point us that we're heading toward, you know, just a national precipice once again as it relates to the scare of another COVID outbreak.
Well, and, you know, when I think about how this happened and mass, you know, the theory of mass formation, you know, where people just get into a mindset and there's reasons why they're willing to accept this. The wonderful thing about this whole mass formation theory is there is a whole contingency that is sold lock, stock, and barrel on this, right? But there's the other end of that who they're not going to comply. They don't believe it. They're thinking. They realize this is all ridiculous. And then there's this like middle area, and I do think that this middle area has gone further and further towards the people who have said we don't believe this. And so I do believe that no matter what the government tries, there will still be those who are sold on every word that they say, and that will believe you have to wear a mask and you have to get the shot and you have to lock down and you have to this and have to do that, right? But I think there are more people that will say no and will stand up and have decided that this was a ruinous. I mean, you can look at even politically the people who have left the Democrat Party because of what has transpired here. And so they have seen what has happened, and they've said, we don't believe in this party anymore, and it's ruined us. It shut down our business. You know, we always voted Democrat, but it shut down our business. So people are making up their own minds differently than they did when this all happened in 2020.
Debbie is next in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Debbie, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I have been trying to call before, but today, anyway, what I wanted to get across was I worked in nursing homes. I worked around people who had the COVID face-to-face for the whole time, and it was here in 2019. Also, I never caught it. So they told us that if we were going to keep on working for them, we had to take the shot. And I said, I haven't caught this, you know, in time, so I'm not going to take the shot. But anyway, to make a long story short, we took the mask, the nurses did, and put a hood over our heads, and they sprayed this material into each one of the masks, and we could taste and smell it. So none of the masks worked except for the N95, just a little bit, but nothing works with the virus. And all these people that think that it does, that wear these little paper mask and yeah, little cloth mask and all that under their nose. It's all just a show. That's all it is they're just putting on a show, and Biden is behind the whole thing. And I tell you what, if we don't get him out of there pretty soon, we're going to be in more trouble than what we are now. But I work face to face with people in their rooms with COVID and had people them claim that they died from COVID because they were hooked up to the that machine. So anyway, I just don't believe it. I think they're putting it back.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. We'll have our guest comment after the break. Twyla Bray's with us here today, taking your calls on Crosstalk, and Twyla's website, cchfreedom.org. And again, you'll find right at their scrolling top there the COVID-19 quick reference guide available for you. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, it has come out that the IRS is buying machine guns. No joke. And not just the IRS, the U.S. Department of Agriculture as well. Why are so many federal agencies being weaponized? In fact, we now have a warning from Gun Owners of America that new regulation put in by the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Agency could make it a crime to sell even one gun. You would think at a time when we now have reports of 75,000 illegal immigrants in America that have been flagged as potential national security risks, that the government would want law-abiding American citizens armed. No, it seems they only want to arm the federal agencies and criminalize the patriots.
And taking your calls here today on Crosstalk, our lines are packed, but as soon as you hear someone hang up, that's your opportunity to get in on that line. Twyla Brace is with us from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. They've got an event later this week. You can get more details, cchfreedom.org. Twyla, that previous caller here just before the break talked about how, you know, they experimented with these masks and sprayed that, you know, sprayed them and so forth, and found that, that the item still got through. There's been a lot of concern as not only, you know, this experiment they did, but you know, studies that have come out that have shown the ineffectiveness of the mask, that it has more of just, you know, giving one some kind of emotional feeling, well, I'm at least I'm doing something.
Yeah, you know, that's true, and it's almost like a safety blanket, right? And so I was at the Minnesota State Fair, and there was a guy there. Actually, I only saw four masks, and this is a huge fair. I only saw four masks the whole day. I thought, these are the fearless people. But there was one guy wearing a mask under his chin, eating something, walking around during a whole parade. And it's like, what's the mask doing there?
Yeah,
you don't believe in it. You don't think you need it. You're walking around without it. And that's another thing that people don't necessarily think about. When they let you take your mask off to eat on the plane, if you can take your mask off at any time, the danger is not what you think it is, or the protection is not what they say it is. It would have to be on every minute, and they said it wasn't necessary, so they know it's not effective.
Sue is calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. Sue, you're on the air.
Hi. I wonder if you could give me information about Paxlovid for dealing with COVID.
Well, I guess the only information I'll give you with Paxlovid is it's significantly more expensive. It has more side effects than ivermectin, so more expensive than ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or a lot of the other supplementals. It has, I can't remember if it's a 40% rebound. So you take it for 5 days, you feel good. A few days later, you start feeling bad again. You got to take another 5 days of it. So anyway, it's like we've had these effective things called ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and some other things that you can add to that, which are on the FLCCC protocols. And yet they came out with this Paxlovid, and now they claim that this is, you know, this is the treatment, right? But it has its own problems.
Yeah, and I think they actually have a term now called Paxlovid rebound as to the number of people that are actually getting COVID again a second time after using the Paxlovid.
Well, and I'm not actually even sure they ever got rid of it, right?
Okay.
Because it just comes back a few days later. So it's probably just, you know, been mollified a little bit, you know, shut down a little bit, and then boom, you're done with your 5 days, and it comes back.
Great. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Richard in Washington. You're on the air.
Thanks, Jim, for taking the call. What I'm calling about is the federal government has no constitutional authority to hand down any of these mandates. That is totalitarian, and he's a totalitarian dictator, and if you abide by him, then you're helping him be a totalitarian. He does not have the constitutional authority, and we must stand up for our constitutional rights. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Twyla.
Well, of course. And he doesn't have the constitutional authority, and he knows it, the CDC knows it, the FDA knows it, and they'll say that. We can't mandate anything, right? But then other people mandate it because they say it's a good idea.
We have, let's see, is it Kaya from South Carolina? Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to know, I have two questions. The first question is, when the whole pandemic madness first started in 2020, people said, coronavirus, 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 and then somewhere it switched to COVID-19, and I wonder why is that? Was it part of the narrative that Fauci and the CDC and all them were trying to push that, hey, you're not taking it seriously, or what was that? And the second question is, you know, these masks and shot mandates and all this crazy stuff that the Biden administration is going to try to push. Why aren't there governors from, like, all over the country, like in Florida, DeSantis or McMaster in South Carolina and Abbott in Texas, who would just send a letter to Biden, the Biden administration, saying, hey, if you hand these mandates down and force these on us, then we'll sue you and we'll take it to the courts.
Okay, thank you for the two questions, Twyla.
Yeah, so the first question, COVID-19. So COVID-19 actually stands for Coronavirus Disease 2019. So they said coronavirus, then they gave it an official catchy kind of name, COVID-19, but it's the same thing, Coronavirus Disease 2019. That's what it means. And then regarding the second one with the governors, again, Biden cannot mandate anything, and it's even questionable whether he can do the transportation mandate again. And so the governors like Reeves in Mississippi have stood up and said, we're just letting you know, we're not doing anything like that in our state. And so I think, you know, it could be that governors are waiting, and some governors, of course, will say, yeah, we're all in, right? But there are, you know, 13 to 19, depending on how you want to count them, different governors around the country, and maybe even more, that see the devastation that happened in their state that will stand up if it ever comes that the Biden administration tries to say, you states all need to do this mandate now. And so I guess it's left to be seen.
Thank you, Kaya, for the call. William in East Troy, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I think it's really hilarious but sad also when you see people driving in their cars with their windows rolled up wearing masks or wearing a mask while they're driving their motorcycle. But isn't it hypocritical of the left to say it's my body, my choice when it comes to abortion, but yet when it comes to taking full responsibility for what you're injecting into your body, that they say, oh, no, it's a government mandate. You have to do this. Otherwise, you're not a very good citizen. But, Twyla, I saw recently or heard of my wife and I about a monococcal virus where they said this is just a new and improved one. If you've had it before, just take another one. How many vaccines do I need to take to be healthy?
Twyla, we have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Well, I guess the short answer to that is you and your wife have to think very carefully and look at your own information, look up your own information and figure out what you need and whether a vaccine is actually going to make you healthy or not.
Twyla Bray's with us today, and friends, we're going to have to leave the discussion there today, but check out cchfreedom.org. Twyla, thank you so much for being with us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you, Jim.
And friends, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.